As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know that I'm happy and pleased to be here and look forward to the opportunity to talk to you about the things that impact our lives now and in the future. And we have a lot to talk about this evening. I want to continue to go on break for a little while longer, allowing everybody the opportunity to get in before we decide to share what we're going to be talking about this evening. So if you just hang in there with me. We'll go to break and come back, and hopefully everyone will be called in.
Just a Thought by James T. DeShay. There is never a perfect time to step out on faith. It would always require risking the safety of where you are at that very moment. But one will never be completely happy when their dreams are not being reached. The higher the dreams, the greater the risk. When the right opportunity makes itself available, you have to close your ears to the naysayers and move forward beyond your dreams. Visit WealthDaddySystem.com. That's www.WealthDaddySystem.com. WealthDaddySystem.com. Push yourself beyond your fears, and you'll reach your dreams.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. DeShay is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, love, and reflections, and passion, desire, and contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, it just never ceases to amaze me about the things that are coming to realization in our country right now. We have to seriously think about where we're headed as a nation, and that there are people out there who are willing to do almost anything to take us in a direction that is not acceptable by the majority of us. What took place in Virginia today shows us there is a segment of our society that wishes to believe that white supremacists should rule the day and that the elected president is the model of the kind of leadership that they want across the nation. We have to be prepared and ready on all fronts to show that we're not going to allow these men or believers in white supremacy to gain a foothold. And that means bringing down the very man they believe is their leader. We have to show and recognize that we're not going to allow any movement in a direction that sees people of color as some type of second-class citizen. It looks as though that these people are even so seriously committed to their cause that they're willing to attack the very people that they say are supreme beings. And it's interesting to see how the police officers around the country are going to deal with the fact they have these two battling factions of white Americans on different sides. And how are we as people of color going to stand as we see this move forward? It was just a blessing that more people were not killed today. But I seriously believe that this movement of these white supremacists is going to take shape across the country as people continue to demand that certain statues be taken down and they feel themselves slipping away from their ugliness and hatred that's been displayed publicly. You know, we have to be ready and prepared to talk about what actions we're going to take and who are we going to support as these things start to boil over. Cheryl, were you able to see some of the videos of this horrific incident that took place in Virginia?
I did. Good afternoon to everyone. I did get a chance to look at the video. I you know, just like I said, every day, I mean, I can't believe of the things that's going on. And, I mean, in full force. And then to the point of somebody actually getting killed and many others being injured. And then I went on to read about the comment that Donald Trump made and how it made the white individuals feel. And then I couldn't believe the first lady tweeted. I'm not getting past the tweets of the president and the first lady. I'm just really not getting past that as far as being able to communicate to the people. I just think that this is not a level, you know, that they should be addressing things to the people about. But, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you that I was in total shock because I had no idea. If you wouldn't have sent me that article, I had no idea that that even took place. And I guess, again, because I don't have a television, but I mean, I'm just still so shocked. It still does not cease to amaze me what takes place from day to day. I just couldn't believe it.
Well, Cheryl, the saddest thing is just like you said, the first lady was the first person from the administration to comment. And then to make her comments, then for her to make her comments on Twitter with the limited amount of characters being able to display, I really believe that Donald Trump and the First Lady use this because they don't have the capacity to have a long statement or deal with things on the spur of the moment for an extended period of time. And so this allows them to put something together real quick and short and hope that it squashes the situation. But Donald Trump seemed to me to want to take both sides, where he suggested that the bigotry and hatred was coming from both sides, and so therefore he didn't take a position one way or the other. He just said all bigotry and hatred is coming from multiple or several different sides. So I don't see his statement as being condemning the white supremacists. In fact, he lets them know that he's not going to be specific about what he states when he's talking. So he'll take these little snippets and not say much of anything.
Yeah, you said
right.
I
did notice that the governor of Virginia flat out told the white supremacists that he didn't want them in his state. He didn't want them there. So therefore, see, that's decisive, and there's no way you can not understand what he's saying. But that is Donald Trump was ambiguous in the way that he made his statement. Joyce, what are your thoughts about what you read and saw?
I'm sick about it. To be honest with you, you know, Donald Trump is just filthy. He just enough just to make me want to puke. And he has the audacity to now bring President Obama into this arena. Unacceptable. He created this monster that we're watching on television. He created it, and he didn't even have no truthfulness in what he said and even in his statement. No one is buying it. You know, he's just pathetic. But, you know, God doesn't like ugly. It's not over yet. But it's time for all those senators and those House of Representatives, they better take a stand, and they need to go ahead and start separating themselves from the evil, the devil, because Trump is the devil. That's how I feel about it. It's just unreal. But you're looking at what we see in the United States. So my suggestion to all our young people, all our elders, because we know this is a wake-up call. Don't you ever think that you've made it and you're up to the top, because you see how full force that hatred was out there today. And if you look at it, these are going to be some of your coworkers that you're going to be looking at work on Monday. Most of those people in Virginia, and they probably come from all over the United States. And they did say that this was well planned. This was a protest that was well planned. They had riot gear on. They had these knuckle things on. They was out to destroy. And for a female to get killed today in our streets of the United States of the free America is sickening. It's sickening.
And we're lucky that more people didn't get killed, because, I mean, the viciousness of the way that person drove down that street was just unbelievable. He meant, whoever it was, I don't know if it was a man or woman, I know they said that they had been captured, but the viciousness of the way they drove down that street was just unbelievable. And you have to know that more of this is going to become, because, again, even in Orlando, when we took down the statue here in Orlando of one of the Confederate soldiers, there was a backlash here in Orlando. So everywhere there is going to be some removal of a statue of the Confederacy, there are going to be people who are going to line up and want to protest against this change, because they want to see themselves as the victim. So these white supremacists want to believe that their country is going to go back to where they were the supreme being. They don't want any more immigrants coming in. They believe that they should be the sole ownership and ruler of America. And so until we recognize, just like you said, Joyce, we do not have the luxury of sitting back and not voting. We have to vote each and every time in full mass, because we cannot allow this to happen again if we want to keep the proper people in office. So, Cheryl, you see that we, the people who chose to stay at home as a form of protest helped Donald Trump to get in office.
Yeah, I'm just, kind of piggybacking on what Joyce was saying. You know, I don't know if anybody noticed, I'm pretty sure that we've noticed, tendency of how Donald Trump carried himself, that he really has some mental situations going on with him, you know, because nobody in their right mind would be doing the things that he do. And just like you said, there's an administration in place that immediately gets there. And even if write something out what to say when things happen like this. And I can remember so many times that President Obama was present, meaning that he felt, and we knew how he felt when things went on, you know, with shootings and different types of violence and stuff like that. But to be so casual to use Twitter as communicating with the people, I mean, that's showing, I mean, how we get our country into the hands of, you know, of this. This is really, we got to really be careful. And then you saw, I read in the article a little bit where supremacists now getting kind of upset with Donald Trump. It's like, you know, remember, we put you in office and you're not standing up for us, and you're not saying that, you know, we are right. So they getting upset with him as well. So it's gonna be a lot. It is far from over with. Far from over with. And I mean,
that's really the reason why you see see his statement being so casual, saying the hatred and bigotry is coming from multiple sides, because he didn't want to denounce the white supremacists. So he didn't, in his statement, he's never telling you that he's against the white supremacists. He's telling you that both sides have some of this in them and that they need to stop. And so he's not suggesting that his white supremacist people are in the wrong. And so we have to recognize when a person don't stand for something, they'll fall for anything. And so he is not taking a stance on either side. And it's easy to see that, don't you think, Joyce, that we can look through his statements and tell that he's not trying to condemn them?
Of course, we can see through it, and America is seeing through it today. On MSNBC, that's who I watch, excellent station all day. They bring it to you direct and straight to the point. They're indicating that they sent a message to him today, the head of the Ku Klux Klan told him that we put you here. We put you there. We want you to support us, because they sent that message to Trump today. But, yeah, he is so low down, he would not stay. But he told you what he's going to do to the Northern Korea if they bother you, this and this and that. So if you can stand up to what straightforward and be clear, you need to be clear as to what it is that you represent as far as the United States and what happened today. He needs to do that. But it goes to show you that he's not the president of the people and for the people. Not for everyone on a free America. You got that wake-up call today. So this is going to get ugly. Like Cheryl said, it's just the beginning. Believe me, it's going to wake up. But, you know, I cannot stress enough that you need to be on guard and know where your surroundings and who you're dealing with. You know, that's in your neighborhood, that's on your job, the people you come in contact with, where you eat at. You know, in particular, I don't like to be serviced food too much unless I know I want to pick it out myself and go through a line and choose. You understand? I'm so particular now, it's because of what it is that I see. And the moment that my neighbor behind me put that, it was a cardboard, a picture of Hillary Clinton in a jail uniform with a chain around her neck, showed me a lot about my neighbor. And there's no way but he knows and they know that I know them for who they are. So I know who I'm dealing with behind me. But then and that's why I walk very lightly where I am, you know, in my neighborhood, because you never know who you're dealing with. So we have to teach our young people. I just told my son today is that I want you to start not getting your gas at nighttime a whole bit, because he's in a small city in Kingman, Arizona. And I know people relate that to Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma bombing. Well, that's where my son is. But I told him, you got to be leery now of what it is, because there's not a lot of blacks there. And my take is on that is get your gas in the daytime, switch up your schedule. You know what I mean? Don't be too automatic with somebody. Like I told you guys, I walk my dog, I go in a different direction every day. But now that I got three, I'm babysitting my son's three and my one, which is four, you know, I'm very leery. But I go different directions. So we got to switch it up a little bit. Don't get too lackadaisical. Don't get too relaxed. Now is not a time for us to be relaxed, particularly if you are of color. Now, I might sound militant. You know, I was telling Audrey about that. I said, I hope they don't think that I sound too militant. But, no, I just come direct. I just let you know what I feel and what it's all about, the true what it is. Thank you.
And Cheryl, you know, you've been saying it for quite a while, and people need to understand there are people out there now that feel that they have the right or it's okay for them to show that ugly side of themselves. To show that bigotry that they once kept concealed. And so we got to be prepared to see a lot more of it, because, you know, there's just some white people out there who are now ready to say, hey, I can say what I think or display what I feel, and because my president has given me the okay.
Mm-hmm. You absolutely right. I mean, he did. He gave the permission for everybody, whatever they were thinking, because he's saying it. Now he's saying it's okay to come out and say just how you have been feeling. Because, you know, I've said it many a times that I've had people on my Facebook page that I would have never thought so many harsh words, you know, against Hillary Clinton and President Obama. And, I mean, you know, and then I thought about my daughter-in-law. She has so many more followers, and she was saying because of her business, she had a lot of, you know, white followers. And she said she was deleting them every day during that time, deleting because of what they were expressing. And it's like, oh, so now I know how you feel, delete. I know how you feel, delete. And I mean, you know, just like Joyce was saying, you don't know what the thoughts is about, you know, your neighbors. And like I mentioned before, you know, we live on a street that's about 5 miles long, and we're the only blacks that's on this street. Now, we have not had any problems with anybody, but I can sure tell you, I won't, you know, not say that none of them won't do anything and that I would not be cautious. But, I mean, we don't get into no, you know, conversations and stuff like that to open the door to even, I don't even want to know how you feel. I just know that I'm going to be cautious, you know. And like you said, these same people who voice it, they've always been nice to me. But now you know deep inside what their true feelings are. And the same thing here on this street. You know, I can't say that none of them don't feel this way, because from what I understood, that this was a Ku Klux Klan street. This was an area, you know, and probably still is, you know, where white feel supreme. And but like I said, I mean, I'm cautious all around, and I definitely try to, you know, talk to my son about it, because it's not, you know, although he went to a predominantly white school, you know, trust me, you don't think like they think. You know, it. You don't. I don't care how old you do not think the way they think, because that's not how they were raised. And what they were raised.
Well, and so you have to understand, that's one of the reasons why you have these situations where you have these high schools who perpetrate using the N-word in their yearbook, and who will tie nooses around these limbs, because we don't understand that racism is still getting down to these young people. And it's going to always be alive until you rid it out of the young people. But if it is still in them, then we don't have a chance. You know, one time people thought, well, we're going to be getting rid of these judges. We're going to be getting rid of these old police officers. But see, they now see that even the younger judges and police officers still have some of these biases in them. And when they talk about not wanting to get, not wanting any more immigrants to come to this country, they're talking about us too. If there was a way for them to get rid of African Americans and people of color, they would. So there's no legal way for them to do it. So they said, well, let's stop the immigrants from coming in here legally, and if we get that stopped, then we can work on the ones that are here that we don't want. So understand that they know they can't just come out and say, well, let's start a process of shipping blacks back to Africa, because they know that wouldn't be politically correct. So what they talk about is the immigrants, or talk about the things that they think are easier to talk about without being called out about it. But the truth is what it is, and that these people hate all races of people, including Jewish people. So their hatred extends in a lot of different directions, and the fact that they would like to emulate Nazis. Now, how can anybody of any decency want to emulate the Nazis? Joy. So you see right away they're trying to emulate the worst of humanity.
Well, they said last night that they was chanting Nazis, a slogan, and they was
right.
portraying what the Nazi people are. That's really sad, you know. That, but like I said, it starts from the top. That's who your president is. That's who he is, and that's who he represents. And everybody know it too. Anytime you elect a president who said that he can go down the street and shoot somebody, and then he would never be put in jail for it, you know, and would be elected tomorrow. You know what I mean? That's who we got. That's who we got. That's who we put up in power. And it's pathetic. But it's time for congressmen, all these people and senators that we put their butt there, we need to start calling that number on Monday and tell them they need to step up to the plate, because now is the time to separate themselves and for us to show who they are as an America. This is who we put in office for you to represent all of us, but the president of the United States is not that person. So it's time for you to separate yourself and show us what you're all about. We got to put those numbers up there, and we definitely got to start calling them up, starting when we should always do that. We should, every week, we should still be calling, letting them know the good things that they do or the bad things that they don't. So this way, we let them know that someone is always watching you. Someone is listening to what you're doing. Somebody is really aware of it, and this is going to be making them more conscious as to whether or not they get reelected.
And you're so right.
That's what needs to be done.
Take a break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation.
Purple rain, purple rain, purple rain.
Just a thought, James T. Deshay. The significance of our lives is found in the level of commitment we have to greatness. Our Creator has planted the only seeds we need to rise above the level of mediocrity. The world needs all of us to rise above the norm. The enemy of humanity is in the wasted greatness that resides in those that refuse to care and fertilize their personal seeds of greatness. No solutions in life's problems can be obtained without individuals being willing to bring their seeds of greatness to reality. There are too many dreams being left in the graves of the disenchanted. The joy and peace of the world should not be put at risk by our reluctance to work toward our legacies. Our families and communities need the value of all the treasures that exist within us. No blessing should remain unnurtured. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This show is here for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we do what is needed to make sure that people know what our opinions are, and this is the platform to make that possible. Please call in at 657-383-0309. Also, please visit my website at jamestdeshay2.com. That's jamesddeshay, the number 2.com. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. One of the important things we need to know is that our society is capable of going in the wrong direction. There are people out there that are willing to put their lives on the line for the things that they believe in, no matter how horrific they may be. And we need to understand that there are people who think they are losing ground to people of color, and that they're willing to fight for what they think is their birthright. And no matter what we think, you know, how Christian we may be or how much of believers we are, we have to realize that there's some evil amongst us. And these people voted their conscience. They voted their beliefs. Nobody in their right mind, and I'm sorry, I have to say this, anybody who voted for Donald Trump should have recognized that this man did not have the capacity to be president. And they thought that maybe we could vote him in but control him by the leadership around him. And that has not happened. We see that this man is incapable of controlling his behavior. The way he went at North Korea shows no discipline. We cannot allow ourselves to be caught up into any foolishness. And then that's the direction that he's taking us. We're involved in a foolish war right here in, on our land front with these white supremacists. And we're in a war with words with North Korea, which can't be won by a war of any type. And so he is fueling an atmosphere of rhetoric that very well could easily spill over in both areas. If he's not careful, every state in America could possibly be having the same kind of violence in our cities. Because there are people like those white supremacists in every city. And if you light the fire that suggests to them that they have the right to do these kinds of things, they're going to do them. So, Cheryl, I mean, it is just clearly white America just did not know the danger they were putting us in.
Not at all. Not at all. And then again, you know, I don't know if they even, I mean, did they know? You know, we would like to think they didn't know. But, I mean, I can't say for sure. I mean, not with the way things are going right now. And like I said, you know, I'm going to tell you, I have to pray for this man every day because he is over us and he is definitely not stable. And, I mean, the decisions that he makes, the conversations, and just not being compassionate with anything that's going on, and especially with this that's going, you know, this situation here. I mean, always bragging on yourself. I mean, that's not normal. And, I mean, he may have made it in the business industry like that, but this is a whole different ballgame. I mean, this is with people's lives, with situations at hand, how you going to handle those things. And he's just not that fast on his feet. He just can't think like that. And, I mean, I don't know, even know what to say, you know, about, you know, the First Lady, the things that I know about her. And I know we're supposed to leave those things in the past. But what you're doing today has a lot to it's almost that there's not many changes other than the type of clothes that you may be wearing. So I don't know what the level of capacity that they're coming from with, or even know what it is to be over this, over the United States. I don't. I really don't. And I don't know what we're going to do, but I know we got to do something. And we got to start on a local level.
Well, we definitely have to fight to regain the House and the Senate and get the kind of leadership there that can fight back, because it's obvious that these Republicans don't seem to be able to recognize the trouble that they've gotten us in, and they're not willing to put their real face on what is going on. And I just have to tell you, Ron Paul is just, I used to have some respect for him, but I have no respect for him now. I mean, he just literally refuses to call a spade a spade, and he knows that we're in trouble. And I believe they're just praying that the American people get us out of this after 4 years, because they're not committed to getting rid of him sooner than that. So, Joyce, we just seem like they will not come out and do what they need to do in order to get this man out of office, because he is going to do some things that are going to be irreversible to our country outside of the United States and domestically.
Correct. Well, we got to look at it this way. This all falls on Ryan. Remember when he first came into office, they had the power, and they let that power get away from them when they folded, and then they decided to be puppets. Now they don't know what to do and how to control them, and they don't know how to regain that power back. You only got a couple of them who just want to stand up to this man, and my senator is one of them, John McCain. He hated him with a passion because of how he treated him and had no respect for him when he fought and he was captured. And he said that he had no respect for anyone who was captured. So my senator can't stand this butt. So we need more like my senators to stand up to him. And for us, America, they knew what they was doing. They didn't care. Only thing that they wanted to do is they wanted to wipe out the image of what a black man did prior to. You see what they got. They got a slut for a first lady. You got a ding-a-ling for the president. This is who they give me anybody except give me another black person. So they want to wipe out all the good things that Obamacare did for the Obama. And when you look at it, Obama didn't do much for the blacks that he did for all the other races, but they don't even look at that. They're not looking at the big picture. And as far as blacks is concerned in America, no, they don't have no – how they keep us down financially through drugs, you know, keep us out of work, you know. So they don't have to worry about us. That's why they don't want the immigrants to come through. But as far as the true black Americans, oh, they'll deal with us. That's why we need to rise up, come together as one, start supporting each other businesses, bring back and depend on each other and stop depending on the white man to save us, because it's not going to happen. What put Trump in was white women. Now, the other gentleman might get mad at me. That's what that argument was about. Remember, Jane? You know, he thought I was kind of ticked off, you know? Yeah. But white women, think about it. They put him there because 84% of black females voted for Hillary Clinton. White women can't stand to see each other go ahead. Now, they talked about Hillary because she stood by her man, Bill Clinton. I didn't care what he did with his ding-dong because he kept our economy strong. But Trump blasted him. And then later on, this is the president you hired who would say, touch him by the pussy. But they didn't care about that, and they knew ahead of time where they could have changed their mind, but they didn't. So this is what we're looking at. But you know what's going to happen? When we get up and start all this riot, and it's going to happen in every state, because wherever there's a statue, these people are going to go from state to state doing this type of uproar. And what's going to happen as far as the war is they're going to turn against them, because who all going to be getting killed? It's not so much of your minorities or your immigrants that you're keeping out or your Mexican that you want to build the border. Look who they're going to lose. And then that's what's going to wake up America. When they see their young people there, their cousins, their brothers, their sons going out there risking their life on something that a crazy man has started up, then their light bulb is going to go on. I believe that's what's going to happen.
But, Joyce, let me just ask you and Cheryl, both of you all being women, why is it so hard for white females to recognize how they benefited for the civil rights movement, how they've always benefited from when good things are good for minorities? They're always good for white women as well, because they're being held back by these white men. So why is it that they keep continually voting against their best interest, Cheryl, when they've seen that when things go good for minorities, they go good for white women as well? Why do they have a tough time understanding that?
Because first of all, I don't think that they want to see minority women, you know, get ahead. They don't see things the same way, in the same light that minorities do. They feel like they are better. And in feeling like that, they don't want, I mean, women can be, you know, we can be something else, you know, and to me, it's just not wanting to see minority women, you know, be better, because we're becoming more powerful in a lot of different areas. And I mean, and we looked at our first lady, Michelle Obama. I mean, she was involved in so many different things that didn't even, you know, that wasn't what the president was doing, but made a major impact on so many different lives and so many different things. And, I mean, you are seeing, if we look at the entrepreneurships as far as black women, it has really escalated, being their own, you know, business owners and the amount of money that they're bringing in. So this is a threat to them. I mean, yeah, it's a huge threat.
It is so amazing to me when you say things like that, because, you know, I know what Joyce has said about black women, but the fact is that, see, I'm a realist. You know, some people don't. I think that cream rises to the top. And I don't have a problem with women, black women, inserting themselves. You know, so when I look across the country at some of the black women who are now raising, you know, Michelle Obama gave black women a reason to be proud. You look at Condoleezza Rice, even though she was in the wrong party, I have a lot of respect for her. And I am just one of them guys that, hey, I like seeing black women step up and do what they have to do. If the men aren't going to do what they need to do, step up and do what you got to do. Now, I think there's some brothers out there doing what they need to do as well. But I'm just saying to you, a lot of times people put a negative connotation on strong black women, and I'm like, hey, I want them to be as strong as they can be, and I want them to be supported by their black men. And I think that Michelle Obama was an outstanding leader, and she didn't try to overshadow Barack, but she did what she had to do to be a positive force in the administration. And right now, Donald Trump's wife is weak as water. You know what I'm saying? She ain't did nothing or said nothing, and ain't nobody told her. You can believe that somebody wrote those comments for her. Already we knew she copycatted off Michelle's speech. So what makes you think all of a sudden now she's able to say something meaningful that was written by her own hand? And so I do agree that, like Joyce said, that there's some issues with whether or not America is prepared or ready for a strong black woman. But the fact is that I respect and appreciate what all black women bring to the table.
I do too. And that's one thing about a black woman. She's not gonna stand down. She's not gonna stand down, and she's going to always rise up. But white women, black women are a threat to white women. And that's why, because a white woman, she gonna maneuver. She can get what she wants from the black man. She can get what she wants from the white man. So therefore, why should she help a sister get into power? Because she feels that sister, she's afraid that sister's gonna destroy her. That's why they didn't put Hillary there, because Hillary liked the black. They felt that she was gonna do so much for the black woman, because they figured that her husband does so much for blacks, and they figured that she gonna do the same. So that's how come they didn't put her there, because they was afraid of what she was going to do and how high the black woman is going to rise, because we have always been a threat. We're a threat to the black, to the white men. We're a threat to the white women, and we're a threat to any other race that are out there, too. Believe me, they don't like us. You know what I mean? Even some of the ones that are immigrants, they don't care too much about us. I'm serious. Because if you go up in some of those states like Minnesota or whatever, those Somalias, and some of them, half of them don't even want to recognize that I have anything to do with black Americans in the United States. It's sad. It's really, I mean, blacks have it so hard all the way around when you really look at the big, you know, we are in a crisis, you know, and everybody else can hide, like the Jews, and everybody else can kind of fake their personality and their color or whatever. But, you know, there's no hiding for blacks, you know. So we have to stand up and just go full and be aware and just push forward.
And adversity makes us stronger. You know, we have to be real about it. You know, going and fighting through what we've already fought through will make us tougher, don't you think, Cheryl? We have always been fighting for everything we've gotten, and very few of us look for anything to be handed to us. So we just continue to fight through adversity because we've always had to go through adversity.
Oh, you are absolutely right. I mean, we do whatever we have to do, and it has been shown with so many, you know, single black women who have raised families on their own, women who have taken up the slack, and now, you know, working in the family. I mean, we do, and I know with, you know, me, when I had two children and my husband left, I mean, I did whatever I had to do, you know, and Maul, you know, that. But I was going to work hard. I was not going to deprive my children of even the necessity thing in life. But I even wanted more for them. And I could remember sewing for 2 and 3 days in a row with no sleep at all and keep going on. So I know we do what we have to do. And, I mean, we have that example with so many other black women out here.
Yeah, it is true. And that's one of the things I've always said. You know, when I went to college, I said that I wanted to have a woman who wanted to work but not have to work. And so, you know, the deal is that, you know, you want somebody who can inspire you to greatness. And someone just sitting at home and not participating or not contributing, that's not very inspirational. So, but when you have somebody who's out there fighting and scratching with you and who, when you stumble and fall, can give you some support, that helps to keep you at the level, at the highest level you need to be at. So I've never been intimidated by strong black women. And I support all strong black women, and I look up to them and say that, you know, that's what all of us need. We need strength in our families, both from our mothers and our wives and our husbands and our fathers. So we need everybody to be on the same page trying to make all those things happen. And, Joyce, we've always seen that in successful families. African-American women have always been part of the success of black men.
That's true. They've been the backbone, you know. And a good black woman, a black man, no matter what, you're going to always can depend on your sister, because she's going to have your back and she'll go through the fire with you, and because she wants you to succeed, and she's going to do everything in her power to make you get there and help you get there. And that's what a black woman does. And that's why, you know, people kind of threaten of a black woman, because, you know, she's going to give it to you straight. She's going to give it all she got. She's going to be a hard worker. You know what I mean? And she just put it all out there, you see. And that can be a hinder in some areas to people who are afraid of that, you know, who are jealous of that, you see. So that's how come, in a way, that we have to teach our young people to be conscious of who really likes you, you know, who don't like you, you know, and that you can't do what Jobo do if Jobo is white but you black. I don't care how much money you make, you can't do what Jobo do, you know. And I take it that, and we was talking the other day about football. Look at Tony Romo. He never did too much of anything, but he got him a multi-million-dollar job just sitting up there, don't know nothing about sportcasting. But all these other black dudes, you can't get those type of jobs, you know, very far and few, you know. So we got to wake up. I'm so disappointed about that first football game, whereas that was this guy who used to be the coach of the Tampa Bay. It was his opportunity to really stand up for Kaepernick, but didn't nobody do it. They was talking about, well, how management look at it and this and this. They, you know, when you got a stance, when you got a stance and you got a voice, use it, because that's what our forefathers used to do. You know, the people who paved the way, Martin Luther King and all our other civil rights, when they had that voice, they used it. So that's what we got to go back to. Do not be afraid to stand up and just, you know, call it the way that you see it. And that's what needs to be done here today, and that's what is being happening. They calling Trump out. You guys you'll be surprised at what this news is saying about what he needs to do. He needs to come out and denounce this white power. He needs to do that, and he needs to call it for what it is. I'm so angry with him talking about, it ain't about me, it ain't about Obama. What? Now you want to say Obama? You want to give him some credit about something that he don't have nothing to do with this? Can you imagine? I mean, this dude is off the chain. I'm serious. Think about it.
All right. We're gonna,
he is off the chain.
We're going to take another break. We're going to take another break, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back. I am this woman. I am this woman that has set the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth.
Igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
By James T. DeShay. The destination of one's life is not determined by where they are, but by where their heart is determined to go. It is important to look past the present and dream about your future. The value of your internal spirit remains the same throughout your life. Once you take your first breath, the measure of your future is unlimited. You only need to take one positive step after the other to get out of your present situation. Always know that there is a helping hand prepared to assist you along the way. Keep your head and your eyes facing forward to see the hearts of those ahead of you. The path they suggest will always be better than the issues that are behind you. The Creator that protects us all will never move from where you last left him. He is patiently waiting for your return. God invested in you from the outset, and now it is time for your value to rise. Don't doubt that which has been there from the beginning, your ability to turn your dreams into reality. This is James T. DeShay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, the radio show where your voice needs to be heard. The show is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. Please visit my website, jamestdeshay2.com. That's jamestdeshay2.com. Also consider purchasing both my books, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. They can be purchased at my website, or at lulu.com. That's lulu.com. I look forward to you being a part of my audience. Call in every day at 657-383-0309.
We have to be ready and prepared to operate and deal on a level we have never dealt with on before. We are in a situation that is dire. And we have to make decisions to turn our lives around and participate on a level that is not being seen by people of color before. We have to take a stand. We cannot allow ourselves to be believe that nothing we do can make a difference. We have to believe that we're powerful and strong and more than capable of changing the direction of our country. Cheryl, we just got to mount up and make sure that people know what it is that we're made of. We can't sit back and enjoy the fat of the land. We have to create a new environment for our children and help them to understand what it takes to make a difference in this world.
Oh, we definitely do. I mean, we can't even blink our eyes asleep too long. We definitely have to be on top of things that's going on, and we definitely have to start instilling the younger ones, you know, as far as preparing them, keep them on their toes, and making sure that they truly understand what they're up against and different areas in their lives. And I like, you know, what Joyce has said, too, about her son getting gas at night. You know, I don't like mine's traveling, you know, after dark either. And, you know, just using some precautions in different, you know, different areas of your life where something does not look like it's a habit, where people know you have a regular routine, and keeping out of home's way as much as you could. And not saying that does not mean that you can't enjoy life, but it means that, you know, you're using your common sense as well and not putting yourself in the midst of anything that even might, although, yeah, we definitely have to continue to do a lot and instill a lot in our children today.
All right, Joyce, you know, sometimes we need adversity to increase our commitment, and certainly we have it right now. So we just have to just increase our commitment to developing and creating change at a level that we've never done it before, because we are really dealing with a tough situation.
That's correct. We cannot be too relaxed, like a daisy, or too comfortable. You know, now's the time is not to be comfortable. Now's not the time to have our young people to be comfortable. We got to really, you know, when I say talk to our young people, we got to let them to be more observant. When you talk to a person, when you communicate to a person, look at that person, you know. You got to be able to grab that person later on if anything happened. We got to be more observant, you know. I think we've gotten so comfortable and so relaxed. We're so busy looking down and working with our fingers with our cell phone instead of looking straight up and communicating, you know, giving compliments. You know, when you give a person a compliment about who they are and what they are when you meet them, that is easy to remember that person and can recognize something about that person that you cannot forget in the brain. You know what I mean? So we got to, like you say, no, it's not a time to get relaxed. We got to move forward. We got to be more diverse. You know, we got to just, we just got to be on it. You know, we just got to be on it now.
Yeah. We can't take anything for granted. And we can't, we have to look forward to fighting every day to win this battle, both in our communities, our cities, in our state, and in our country, because we put ourselves in a bad situation, and, you know, there's no quick fix, and so we just have to do what we got to do over the long term to get this situation corrected, and
we
have to
call the state of state. I got a question. Do you think that we can come out of this unscathed in any way? I don't think so. It's going to be a price that we just did.
I don't think there's no way we're going to come out of this unscathed.
I think it's going to be a price.
We very well.
For us putting him there,
very well,
we're going to have to
pay a price. Yeah, there may be a large number of people who die as a result of having this man in office. And so, you know, you can say what you will about Barack Obama, but one of the things he didn't do was create a catastrophe, even though he had several wars he was involved in. We all came out of that without any great huge amount of life loss, but we very well may pay a serious price in loss of life with this man in office. You know, you know, I hope that we don't, and I hope that, but we're going to be already scared. We're already scared with these white supremacy people. Domestically, we're going to have some issues we got to fight through after he's finished.
Yeah.
Cheryl, what are your
like
thoughts about that?
Over again.
Cheryl, you think we're going to come out of this unscathed?
I think that we got a battle ahead of us. I'm just hoping that he realized after 4 years, and hopefully before then he's out of office. But hopefully after 4 years he realized that he don't need to go through this no more, and we don't need to be put through this anymore. So I think we're gonna have some cuts and bruises. I really do. It's gonna be a bumpy ride. But, I mean, we got to do everything that we could do, and we got to come together in full force.
Well, I thank you all so much for your support. We carried the show today, and we had a wonderful time talking about, you know, the things that are impacting our lives. And certainly Donald Trump is something we need to talk about on a regular basis because he's trouble. I look forward to talking to you guys tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, where your voice can be heard loud and clear. Take care,
get
everybody.
Your lottery
see you tomorrow.
Get your lottery
oh, yeah.
ticket.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Hey, listen, I did. I bought five Powerballs. I left them in the car. So just know, if I won, hey, look, Joyce. They're going to be mad
what?
That they weren't on tonight. Now, I bought them. If I won them, just the three of us.
Okay. All right. Good luck, everybody.
All
good
right.
night. Have a nice weekend.
All right.
I got
good
five
night.
Tickets. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Just a Thought by James T. Deshaies. There is never a perfect time to step out on faith. It will always require risking the safety of where you are at the moment. But one will never be completely happy when their dreams are not being reached. The higher the dreams, the greater the risk. When the right opportunity makes itself available, you have to choose to close your ears to naysayers and move forward beyond your fears. Please visit WealthDadSystems.com. That's WealthDadSystems.com. WealthDadSystems.com. I look forward to talking to you soon. Remember, there are a lot of people waiting for their ship to come in. It might require us to swim out to meet it.